is that you may be comforted that although we see the prevalence of evil in this world, and many a times experience its testing of us, we know that Jesus has prayed for us and that God will keep us. And so we look at this passage of scripture from John chapter 17, verse 11 through to 17. So verse 11, and Jesus prayed, and now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And so in the first part, or in the center part of this verse, there is a sense that God the Father keeps his eye on us, he watches over us, and preserves us for the honor and glory of his name. Now it's interesting to note that Christ be it to the Father is to keep through thine own name. And this is interesting because, you know, why God's own name? Why this particular phrase, right? Because there is no greater name to whom Jesus could commit this request. And Christ's plea is that we will be kept faithful to God and what has been taught in Scripture. And this not by our own might, but the omnipotence of God and his holiness. Now, it's also interesting to note other passages of Scripture like Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. And so we take comfort that this prayer, this plea was made an appeal to the name of God, right? And that God not only watches over our physical needs as he does the sparrows and the flowers of the field, but also our spiritual health and well-being. Now, in the last part of this verse, there is this phrase, that they may be one as we are. Now, of course, this does not mean that we will become one with God, right? But I think the sense here is that Christians may be as one, united in affection, meaning the love for God, as well as united in purpose, that they may live for God and the gospel. Now, in such a time as this, where evil is more and more prevalent, as we see more and more troubles in the world and things that may assault the senses, unity of the body of Christ not only strengthens the work of God on earth, but provides a certain comfort and solidarity against the evil of the day. Now we move on to verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak to the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now we can understand this in two ways. Firstly, Christ prayed this so that the disciples may find joy and be comforted, despite knowing that very soon Jesus was to leave them and that they would have to face the trials and temptations of this world without the physical presence of Christ as their teacher and master. And yet, he prayed this and comforted them later on in the passage by saying that he will continuously be with them. And the other way to look at it is that through the disciples' obedience and carrying out of God's will, that Christ's joy will be fulfilled, though he may not be there presently. Now, God delights in our obedience to his word, and we in turn can find joy through knowing that God is pleased. And this demonstrates itself similar to a positive reinforcement loop. And in this case, we hope and pray that as we experience Christ, as we know Christ delights in our obedience, as we obey him, we in turn may be able to find joy. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now here we have the reality and the reason why Jesus pleaded to the Father to keep us, namely that the world and the evil surrounding us are diametrically opposed to the nature of a true Christian. And because we are not one and the same, the world hates us. Now, a question for our consideration tonight is, although we may be in the world, does the world see us as comprising a people of different values and purposes? Or have we become so like the world that they view us as one of them? Now, this, of course, does not mean that we should behave as though we live in a cave, you know, as hermits or social outcasts. But it does mean that we may be excluded in some sense from certain groups and activities in the world. Right? And we should not be too discouraged if the world hates us for it, because we know that they will hate us. And as Christ was not of the world, neither should we be. And so, while we consider and ponder on this question, there is also a thought of comfort in this verse, and that as Christ, as we are not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world, such a hatred and feeling that we experience, this feeling of not belonging to this world, is but temporary. And that we have something to look forward to in the world to come. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, as much as we know that the world will hate us and that we are not of this world, it is to be noted that Christ prayed for us to not be taken out of the world, but instead to be kept from the evil. Now, what does this mean? Why would Christ not want us to be taken out from the world? Well, for one, there continues to be work for us to do. Right? And knowing that the Lord's work is at stake, make the most of your time on earth, however short it may be, knowing that we have been placed here deliberately. Now, the second sense of this is that we are placed on this earth also for our sanctification. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so our presence, our lingering here on earth, is also for our good. It is also for our preparation for heaven. Now the last verse for our consideration is verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we all know what sanctification means, right? It is to be made more like God in holiness, and as a byproduct, to be weaned from earthly affections and desires. Now, but what is this truth spoken about here? How are we sanctified through God's truth? Now, the truth, of course, is what is taught in the Word of God. And this, some commentators have posited that it is but the foundation. It is a lens through which we view the world and what is happening in this world. And so through knowing more about God's word, through knowing about the truths taught in the word, we become enlightened about the logic or realities of this world. And by doing so, we should turn all the more to Christ. Now take, for example, the reality of sicknesses and weaknesses. We see that, you know, in the pandemic, we see that even now, many people are down with flu. There is mpox, right, going around. And so the reality of these, just that we are frail, and how perhaps we should look toward God is to rely on God for strength. Another reality that we are faced with, and for some more familiar with than others, is the reality of death, which teaches us that life is short and fleeting, and that while turning to God, we learn to seek out better joys than earthly comforts and riches. And looking around us, the logic of nature and its workings point us to God, who cares and who is in control of all things. So the Bible is the foundation in which we, or the lens through which we look at things in this world. And this truth, coupled with our experience in this world, should rightly help us see things as they are, pointing us to God and a better place in heaven. Now, in conclusion, as much as this life may throw us many punches, some of which may cause us to fall harder than others, we know that we are not alone in this life. Christ, knowing all there is, past, present, and future, has prayed for us and continues to do so in heaven. And while on earth we continue to face trials and evils of this world, although our senses may be assaulted, although we may be ridiculed, God the Father keeps us. And so I pray that tonight this short passage of scripture may comfort you, and that we may remember that we not only have Christ to pray for us, God the Father to keep us, we also have the Word of God to sanctify us. And that through all these, God will help us to experience that joy in Christ. And so I'll end this devotion with an earlier verse in John 16, verse 33. These things I, Jesus, have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let us pray. Almighty, loving Father in heaven, we are so thankful for how you have given us your word to mull over, to ruminate over, to understand and to keep and hide in our hearts, that we may be comforted with the truths in your word and with your presence and with the knowledge that thou keepest us. We thank you, God, for your wisdom. We thank you, God, for your power. And we thank you, God, for your presence everywhere with us. And we pray that as we go back out into the world daily, oh God, may you preserve us, may you keep us, may you sanctify us, and continue to help us to look forward to that day where we may be perfected and enjoy communion with you in heaven. May thou bless this time as we pray to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.